Whatever the boy said, lessons from the lathe. Parshas Ki Sisa, also Purim. We'll mainly discuss Purim. I will have to take the advice of everybody seemingly on YU Torah and related, of course, to the coronavirus. That seems to be the headlines. And I really wish, in the history of my lifetime, I'm never experiencing something like this, where the Ribbono Shel Olam's hand was so obvious to me in this, whereas a few weeks ago, everything was just set as normal, and everybody thought that they could go away for Pesach, come home for Pesach, and everything, and the stock market was doing great, and it's quite unbelievable how everything has changed. And certainly those people who are sick, Hashem should send them a refuah shlema. Hashem should really help us in very quickly finding the, it's there already, but unveiling the refuah to the smachla. And I give a special bracha to the many business people in the world who are in a very difficult situation right now because they're losing thousands and thousands of dollars, whether it's in tourism or the catering business or whatever it might be. It's a very difficult time and challenging, and we have to, as Purim itself, get through this time. I was very moved by something that seemed quite obvious, but the Rav of our shul, it's funny because Friday night, it was right before davening was pouring outside. So an hour before Shabbos, I got a call from one of the members of the shul who sets it up. He says, listen, the Rav Bagno lives not so close, about 20-minute walk from here. And he doesn't think he can come down because it's going to be pouring. He needs somebody else to speak. He needs somebody else to speak. So he said, can you speak? I said, I can't. It's an hour before Shabbos. I just started working. I can't do it. So he gave me the guilt trip. He's like, just so you know, if you don't speak, nobody will speak. And there's going to be no Torah in the shul. And I'm like, all right, right. So I started writing this whole speech. And of course, I'm not the Rav and not like hear lessons from the Lev. I can give everyone, talk. And I'm like, it's Chaval because this is the Shabbos. I want to hear what the Rav has to say because obviously he's going to just discuss the fact that the shul was basically dead over Shabbos. Half the people probably came home from America. They had to attend separate minyanim and this whole hundred thing in Nebuch. Everybody's going to be quarantined if they come from New York and Washington and California. It's very, very difficult. And Baruch Hashem, as Mincha started, it got much nicer. The Rav was there already and he spoke. And he said something seemingly obvious, which I want to discuss today. And seemingly obvious the other way. He made it so obvious afterwards. It was amazing. And I'm going to speak about his vort. But before, I always think it's important that even though this is going to be mainly about Purim, always to relate it to the Parsha, because I feel bad for the Parsha. It shouldn't. And it relates, of course, because tomorrow we have a mitzvah on Tanis Esther to give the Machzis HaShekel, Zecher the Machzis HaShekel, which is an important mitzvah of the day. And this week's Parsha, we learn about the Machzis HaShekel. We read a few weeks ago the Parsha Shekelim. And the Lashon of the Torah is very interesting because it's a Ze Yitnu. What does Ze mean? This. Says Rashi, the famous Rashi, this they'll give. What does that mean? Haroyelo kimin matbeal shel esh. God showed Moshe a sort of coin of fire. Umishekolim nechze Machzis HaShekel, and the weight of Machzis HaShekel, the Amrlo, and he said, Kazeh, Zeh, Yitnu. You should give like this fiery coin. This is based on the Medrash Tanchuma, who uses this word Zeh, this, because it appears to be superfluous. And therefore, we need to explain that Zeh was a fiery coin that Moshe Rabbeinu was showed. So, the question that seemingly is obvious, or Chaim asks this question, obviously many of them before Shem Klei Yochre asks this question. And that's the question of what's going on over here. So we know that part of Machzis HaShekel is a kapara for the Chet HaEgel, which is the source of the whole Parsha itself, and potentially the source of the Mishkan. And the Klei Yochre gives different examples and different ideas. One of them is that Dafka half Shekel. Because, if you've ever seen those girls who walk around with half a necklace that says, S-T-E-N-D, and somebody else has the best, you know, the best friends, and it's a heart that's, right? So the Kli Yekar says that's what this was. It was the ultimate form of togetherness, that in order to complete a shekel, I need you. And if you're poor, you're rich, you're giving the same. It's the achdus, the togetherness of that. But Rav Bitterman, in his amazing way, and we'll be quoting a lot of him today, says that the Chidush Arim, this is such an interesting Chidush Arim, if you listen to it and understand it, quotes a Rav in Germany that he heard once say, why did Hashem have to make the coin out of fire? Why couldn't you have shown him? You wanted to show him the coin. He didn't understand what kind of coin it was. So show him a silver coin. Why would I have to show him a standard silver coin? Standard issue. The answer is, Hashem wasn't only showing him the size and weight of a coin. He was showing him in the manner which this chatzi shekel should be given. Hashem doesn't want us to serve him in a detached manner, devoid of love and emotion. Don't just do the mitzvahs anashim l'madam, stam mitzvahs. It should be with passion, with fire, like the fiery coin. You see, that was the whole problem here. The Chet HaEgel, in its essence, was the serving of God through, right? They made an eagle and they were quite fiery about it, because they thought that was the way to serve Hashem. It was totally the incorrect way. They were looking for this intermediary that was obviously wrong. And that's what it's all about, serving Hashem b'simcha. The Chiddush HaRim said that he went to the great Kotzker Rebbe, and he says, I heard this Dvar Torah from this German tzaddik. He said, how can it be? He hit it on the head, this German. What was he trying to say, the Chiddush HaRim? So if you know anything about Chassidus, you know that the Germans are as far as you can get away from Chassidus. Right? So he says, how is it Zoicha that Chassidus teaches us the power of fervor? They're the ones who daven for hours on end. How can it be? So the Kotzker said, because he gets it, because the Germans were well known for Hachnosis Orchim, and therefore he was Zoicha to merit this Chiddush, because he understood what the closeness to Hashem was through serving his people. And we'll get to that as it relates to the holiday of Purim in a moment. The Kedushas Levi says that if a person wants to know if Hashem is happy with his avoda to him, here's the test, he says. Says the Kedushas Levi. If his heart is burning like fire and he yearns to serve Hashem, then it's a clear sign Hashem enjoys his avoda. He is being helped from Hashem. If you feel it inside, your neshama says, oh my God, I really feel something when I went to that zvados. When I went to that tishta, that own, I feel in the neshama, that shows as the Kedushas Levi that you're doing the right thing. Umara kvoid Hashem, he says, ke'esh ochelas. Hashem is happy with you, like the fire burning. The Midrashim say that Hashem took the coin from where? The Kisei HaKavod. What does that mean? Hashem has a bunch of coins underneath his Kisei HaKavod? That's the passion. The passion comes from the Machzor Shekel. It's a fiery passion that's precious to Hashem, and he stores it under his throne. That's the idea. The test is, who are we? Are we consistent with our mitzvahs? Do we do what we're supposed to do? And that's why Moshe, the Midrash says, he didn't understand what this coin was. So Hashem had to show it to him. What does that mean? He had to explain it to Moshe. Moshe said, how can it be that the kapara for Chet HaEgel will be a small donation to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan? He was implying Hashem by throwing him the fiery coin that one mitzvah done appropriately, with happiness, with simcha, with fire, even if it's a half shekel, is the atonement. As it says in Chagai, Li HaKesef, Li HaZov, Nu'um Hashem Tzvakos. I have the silver, I have the gold, says Hashem. It's, the amount isn't important. Ki Tanu Bani Levichali. He says, my dear son, give my you me a heart. Nediv Lev. It's a pasuk from Mishlei. But we say when we gave Korbanas, Nediv Lev. That's the idea. Are you doing it with true simcha? That's what the Machzor Shekel reminds us of. And I think that that, in fact, is the kapara. If it's done with joy, as the Sfas Emes says in his Maimer and Parsha Shekolim, the primary aspect of Machzor Shekel, says the Sfas Emes, was that it to be done with joy and desire. And he says, this is a mitzvah that's for our time. Machzor Shekel is performed in our time as well. Isn't it interesting? We don't have many mitzvahs that we do Zecher L'Mikdash in this way. What's the point of Machzor Shekel? What is it going to? Stuck. It's not building a Beis HaMikdash. But we donate it, we give the Machzor Shekel to atone for our own sins, as the Yerushalmi says in Shekalim. And that's what we're trying to do today as well. It's an antidote for the Yetzer Hara. I was, I think everyone who comes to yeshiva knows the Maimer based on the Tikkuni HaZohar. Yom Kippurim De'itnon L'itagna Be'i Yom Kippur is like Purim, because in the future people will enjoy pleasures of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur will completely change from being a day of affliction and fasting to a day of pleasure. Therefore what? Purim is on a high level, on a higher level than Yom Kippur, according to this. So you have to understand, what does this mean? How can this be? And so, everybody uses this term. What does it mean? My, the Rishna from our chain of Hasidus says that Purim is even greater than Yom Kippur because Chazal didn't say Purim is like Yom Kippur. They said Yom Kippur is like Purim. It implies that Purim is greater. The concept is surprising. It's a little bit of a chutzpah to say this. Purim, the day you guys are going to get plastered. There isn't two days that seemingly are opposites of each other. How can this be? How can this be the day of awe? Yom Kippur is the day of awe and atonement. It's the extremely holy day. It's the holy of holies. It doesn't make sense. Let's understand. So he quotes a Mishnah Berurah. This is Rav Bitterman quotes his Mishnah Berurah. And only a Hasidic person can take something that's written in the Mishnah Berurah. I think it's a little bit funny. And it's great. And use it as a Hasidic Torah. So he says like this. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Mishnah Berurah says that the... There's a famous shaila. The Mishnah Berurah, this is the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tzadik Hilchos Tfila. So the Mishnah Berurah goes through a very interesting shaila in halacha. And he says like this. What happens if you have the following case? He quotes the Radbaz, a famous machlokes. Asher Weiss quotes his machlokes as well. That could happen. You have a person who's sitting in jail, right? And for some reason the jail says to him, you can get out any single day. What day should the person get out? That was the question I was asked to the rabbis. He's onus. So we know that onus, unfortunately, this is the Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah that we need for our time, that a person who's a bodeid, somebody who's in quarantine, is called an onus. He's not allowed to go to shul. Parshas Zachos Midaraisa, all the poskim have come out, and say you're not allowed to. In fact, the psak of only a few days ago from the great Rav Nevinsel said that a person who is in quarantine should not fast on, amazingly, says you shouldn't fast. Why? He says, because the whole idea of why you're in quarantine is to make sure you don't have corona. And therefore, we're nervous about you have a chashash that your immune system is compromised. And fasting is the worst thing for your immune system, and therefore you're not allowed to fast. But you're not allowed to go to shul. You're not allowed to go to shul. It's very hard. I don't know which. I don't know, unfortunately, a family who's coming home from France. So they can't. So they can relay Megillah to themselves. I'm not sure how it's going to work. It's Nebuch. It says in the Mishnah Berurah, what happens in the case, the Radbaz's case, and the person has a day to get out. He doesn't know which day he should leave. So, what should he do? So says the Radbaz is in Chav Ches. Kasa B'chu is a Radbaz. Tafus. Shehasar notan lo rishut yom echad lit palel. Right? If I had to pick which day to go. Rav Zilberstein has this shiloh as well. Ezo yom sheyirtza. Yit palel oiso yom tekef. Imagine. He says like this. It comes to you Sunday morning. You can leave jail one day. And you're like, oh my God, it's perfect. Purim is about to be. Right? They actually have this in Eretz Yisrael. This sounds a little crazy. People who have low-level crimes, they actually let them leave jail sometimes to go away for Shabbos. It's crazy. So says the Radbaz, he should leave that day, Sunday. Don't wait till, just wait till tomorrow night. No. Ezel yom shircha. Yitpalel oto yom tekef lo yachmitz hamitzvah. Lamtim ad yom kippur upurim. So says Rav, I don't know if this is based on the Rishner, but says Rav Bitterman, why do you use those 2 days? Why do you say Yom Kippur? Why not Rosh Hashanah to listen to the shofar? Why those 2 days? So he says, you know why? He says, notice the Radbaz didn't say push off the mitzvah of Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah. He says Yom Kippur or Purim. Why? Because he knows the Tikkuni Zohar. Because those are the 2 greatest days of the year. Very interesting. We know that both days of Purim and Yom Kippur are days of atonement. Days of the tshuva. Sas Emes says this. It's a very special day of kapara. You should be thinking about davening. Special. The amazing Vasika Minyan here. It's a very important thing. But I think that there's something very unique as well on Purim. Because, and this is a beautiful idea. Again, the Rishna says this as well. We have an interesting halacha that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Ein medaktikim b'ma'os Purim ela kol misha poshet yav nosima. This is a halacha that is unique to Purim. And that is that a person who comes to you on Purim and asks for money, you should give him. You don't have to do a drisha v'chakira. Normally, we say that if it's a poor person, you're allowed to look for a letter, you know, the Teaneck, Bergenfield, Stucka Council, whatever, the five, you're allowed to do that. So Rav Asher Weiss pointed out that this is actually a Yushalmi and a Bavli, that the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam took both of them together and combined them. And it says, Medaktikim, ain't Medaktikim lo? That's Yushalmi, Bavli, called Poshe Yado. We don't check him. We give everyone. Why? Says the Rishna. On Purim, Hashem acts the same way for us. He says, Kol HaPoshet Yado. Normally, you know who Hashem answers? People who are tzaddikim. The reason why we go to a tzaddik for a bracha is not because we believe that he's got this heebie-jeebie power. No, it's because he's closer to Hashem. Hashem accepts his tefillas as tzaddikim because of the level they're on. But, says the Rishna, you know what on Purim? Kol HaPoshet Yado. Call it Poshet Yado. But I think it's even more than that. Rav Asher Weiss said in the shiur that he gave last week here that the formulation of this mitzvah, call it Poshet Yado, if you look at the Rambam did not write his halacha, says Rav Asher Weiss, Aleph Bet Gimel, it's just Parakim. So what does it say? It says that part of Simcha of the day is Mishalach Monos Yisraelayo, and then it talks about that you have to give Matonis Le'avyonim, and he says, interesting, listen, Matonis La'aniyim, everyone's a real poor person. He says it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of Simcha of the day. You have to fulfill your mitzvah of Simcha through that. Why? You have to make everybody happy. And he says, that explains why anybody that comes to you, give to. Because even if the guy doesn't deserve the money, if you give him money, he's happy. Whether you did the mitzvah stuck or not, that's not what's important right now. It's not what's important right now. It's Simcha. It's taking the holiday of Purim with fire, with a bren, with a happiness. That is the whole point of this holiday. What's the true Simcha? And says Rav further, Rav Bitterman, that's the challenge, because the Yetzer Hara has this whole cool Simcha thing called getting drunk. So that the majority of your day, you can't even do anything. Last night we did a Rav Zilberstein Shiloh with my son about somebody who got drunk and was so drunk at the Suda, he calls his friend, it's like a half hour before Shkia, and he says, I didn't give any staka. I need you to give 1,500 shekel for me to this staka, that staka, that staka. I don't have a credit card, I don't have anything, please, I'm begging you. And he gives all the staka away. And in the morning he says, I need the money. He said, what are you talking about? He was drunk. Some people are drunk and they do good things. So Shiloh, you have to pay, so on. So they're very interesting. But the Yetzer Hara comes with the drinking and says, what kind of simcha are you really going to have? Rav Sternbach has a great tshuva about getting drunk on Purim, which the yeshiva probably wouldn't like for me to quote. And he says, forget all the shtickle toiras. You got to get drunk. Got to get drunk. Yeah, the Rambam says you shouldn't get... Yes, you have to get drunk. But what does it mean that Yom Kippur is on a lower level than Purim? Yom Kippurim. He says, because Yom Kippur, as one of my rabbis would say, you're a faker. I got the voice now to say it. Faker. What does it mean, you're a faker? Anybody can do that for 25 hours. Not eat, shuckle, cry, do all that stuff. Chamesh Nuyim, you're a malach. But the challenge, 6 months after Yom Kippur, ooh, here, I'm going to pick this day. Let's see who you really are. And that's why I always say, if you know when you get drunk, you're not a good person. That's not the simcha we're talking about. Are you a simcha like a machzah shekel or not? Are you really believing achdus and caring about another person and giving them simcha? Kol ha'poshet yad. God will do the same thing for you. I'll answer your tefillas. That's the key to this holiday. Kimu masha kiblu kvar. That is the second acceptance of the Torah with love, because it's with a bren, with a love. And now let's get back to Rav Bagna. He said that tomorrow night, how sad are we going to be? Maybe you don't experience this. I could have a Megillah reading where I don't know, a third of the people can't be there because they just came back from some country. Sad. It seems like the lowest level of Achdus of ever now, and this must be the holiday of Achdus. I can't leave Mishloach Manos, I have to leave it outside his door. It's Nebuch. How do we correct this? He says, no, this is the ultimate form of Achdus. Because normally when a person is in bidud, he's in quarantine. You know why he's in quarantine? Because he has a disease and he's going to get sicker if somebody comes. A person has cancer, Nebuch, and he has to be quarantined. It's because if you have a cold and I get the cold, I could die from it. But this is the opposite. I care so much about you, I won't leave my house for 2 weeks. I'm going to go stir crazy because I don't want you to get it. Ein Achdus Godomazu. And you know what the response to that is? I just saw Chabad of Beit Shemesh. I have a cell phone number. We have literally an army of people who are going to go out and read Megillah and get to the last. I don't care who it is. I'll go to every quarantine house and read it outside their door. Ze Achdus. And I thought that maybe you can say that that's the whole inyan of why you can't shake people's hands. And I'm sorry to say this as well. Maybe you can't do the mezuzah and you can't shake then the Torah, you can't kiss the Torah. You know why? Because there's a little bit of fakeness to that. The guy that runs up and can say, obviously I'm not talking about the great Rabbanim and the great Rav. Right? We just do this out of rote. We go, I kiss it, I kiss it. We shake hands. Supposed to be the ultimate form. Two hands coming together. We spoke about shaking hands in halacha with the opposite sex. Because many say that it's usher because it's a sign of, it's a love. We don't do that anymore. When you shake a person's hand, generally, you don't mean it. You don't care. Rav Moshe's got the famous tshuva on Avil's not allowed to greet somebody, say hello. Maybe you can over the phone say hello because that's just a greeting. Nobody really cares. You hear what I'm saying? This is the ultimate test of achdus. Are we really together? Are you going to send a text to the person that's sitting in bidud and say, I'm thinking about you? Not just see him and show him, go, hey, shalom aleichem, shake his hand, it's fake. Kiss the Torah when you really don't have the simchas Torah. Now you have to think about not kissing the Torah. That's actually sometimes you think about the Torah a little bit more. Nebuchadnezzar is a difficult virus, but it gives us pause to say to ourselves, what are